praise him. I got to praise God. I had to praise him for this. Romans 11, 33. Read it with me here. Here we go. Oh, the depth. Oh, wow. The deepness with no bottom is what he's saying. It cannot be fully understood in our finite human minds. Oh, the depth of the riches, the spiritual wealth, and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. God's wisdom, his knowledge, obliterates man's wisdom and knowledge. How unsearchable, cannot be fully searched out. Leaves us speechless are his judgments, God's decisions, his purposes. How inscrutable, how unfathomable, impossible to fully track and follow. Ever been there trying to figure out where God's going, what he's doing in your life? I'm like, what are you doing, God? You can't track and follow him. His ways are higher than ours. We're not supposed to follow him in that sense. He's God, we're not. Then Paul concludes this glorious chapter with three questions. 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Question one. Question two. Or who has been his counselor? You thought about this? Who gives God advice? In their right mind, that is. I know a lot of people trying to give God advice. Who in their right mind gives the God of the universe advice? Nobody, right? Third question, verse 35. Or who has given a gift to him, God, that he might be repaid? These are somewhat sarcastic in nature. Who's indebted to God? All of us. Is God indebted to any of us? No way. And yet we got people running around today who argue that God owes me. Okay, God, if you're God, where are you? If you're God, why'd you allow this in my life? I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I wanted. You owe me, God. You owe me. The only thing God owes you and I is eternal damnation. That's it. And if you can get to that point right there, your life will never be the same again. If you can, in your heart, have a heart that's so soft and so tender and so pliable and so flexible that you get to the point in your life going, God doesn't owe me anything except eternal damnation, and yet his mercy's more, and he gave me mercy through his son Jesus that he died for me, and I give my life back to him. Matter of fact, God doesn't owe me anything. I owe God everything. You get a bunch of people who understand that final concept right there, and they will shake the world. They will shake the halls of hell for God's glory. When their feet hit the floor every morning, the demons will quake. When you get people who go, I get this. God doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything. He's giving me his son. You get people who not just understand that, but they embrace it and they live it. Watch out, Satan. Here we come. And yet how many people really live that, embrace that? God, you owe me. You owe me. Total spiritual insanity. And that's a cancer, by the way. You hang around people who think that God owes them, that will be a spiritual cancer that will begin to infect you, and it will spread like the most rampant disease you've ever seen in your life and worse. That's just a scheme of Satan. God owes you. Psst. You've had a hard life. God owes you. You didn't get what you wanted in the third grade. God owes you. Someone made fun of your socks in the playground. God owes you. On and on and on. God owes me. No, he doesn't. And see what it does to my heart? My heart gets soft and tender, and I go, God, you're it. You're amazing. I just want you. I want to live for you. Give me courage. Give me boldness. I want to be someone who makes a difference. Should be all of the cries of our hearts. We didn't get saved to sit down. Got that over with. So glad I can check it off my bucket list. Check. Really? No. Surrendered forever. Use me for your glory. Take all my dreams and plans and throw them in the trash can and use me for your glory, God. That's a life worth living right there. That's a life you're going to get to the end going, oh, man, ooh, it's good. And you're like, it wasn't pretty, but I ran to the end. You're going to get to the end going, oh, God, here's my armor. You hand him your armor. And you're like, it's all dinged up perfectly, right? That's hopefully all of us, right? I hope we don't, like, stand in front of Jesus on that day and we take off our armor and it's, like, still in cellophane. Oh, here you go. Here you go. Is it too wrinkled for you, Jesus? Here's my armor. I mean, it's dirty and filthy, and there's fiery darts hanging out everywhere of the armor. Here it is, God. That's the life I want to live right there. Push the envelope. Push the narrative. Will people hate you? Yes. They're going to despise you. But Jesus warned us, if they hated me, Jesus says, they're going to hate you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are you, is what the Bible says, and they revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of things falsely against you according to me or on my account. Blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad. For so they persecuted the prophets who went before you. See, that's the blessed life. This blessed life nonsense that you're hearing all week long is simply nonsense. Just go buy this, go live here, go do this. Fit God in when you can. Give him a high five, give him a thumbs up, give him a chest bump, whatever. Nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. It's total surrender. Oh God, give us courage. Give us courage. I don't want to get to the end with regret. I want to get to the end with no regrets. No retreat, right? Living all for God's glory. Oh, the depths. Read this with me out loud in your Bible, or actually just turn on the back of your sermon notes. I want to read this from the same passage. Let's read this doxology together. We'll go to key number 2, a few verses, and we'll close. But read this with me. Let's read this out loud. This is our doxology. This is our praise, okay? And this is not something we're going to mumble, something we're not going to like whisper, okay? We're going to read 33 through 36 like we understand the mercy of God the best that we can. Read this with a shout. Here it is, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? All right, church, with a shout. For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, amen. Woo, isn't that good? Wow, it's good, isn't it? How can you not get excited about this stuff? I mean, it's like, here are two options. Let's go walk in darkness. That's not an option. Let's go live for Jesus, lay our lives on the line for his glory, and live every moment like it's our last. Woo, sign me up. Sign me up, right? Let's be those people. What a doxology. Oh, praise God. Key number 2, as we see here in Romans 11, 33 through 36, when you begin to truly understand that God extended his mercy to wicked people like us, how can we not respond with total praise and glory to him and to him alone? Amen. Key number 2, here it is. As we see in Romans 11, 33 through 36, when we begin to truly understand that God extended his mercy to wicked people like us, me and you, apart from Christ, we're wicked. How can we not respond with total praise, total glory to him and to him alone? Amen? Here's the reality. You and I will never begin to understand God's mercy until we begin to understand our wickedness. Because his mercy, again, is based on his wrath. His wrath is based on his mercy and vice versa. And when we begin to go, God, man, I am a wretched sinner. I need you, God, not just to bail me out. No, I need you in this regard that here's my life. Take it, God, take my life. Oh, you'll fully begin to understand his mercy. And his mercy is more, amen? It is so sweet. I mean, this doxology, church, did you catch this, by the way? The awe, the wonder, the praise. I can just picture Paul on his knees, writing, reading, reciting 11, 33 through 36, just in praise, in glory, his hands raised to the heavens. How great is our God, amen. How great is our God. Did you notice something about 36? Did you notice this? Look in verse 36. Who is the focal point in the center of the verse in verse 36? God. The same person right here, look at it in your Bible. The same person who is at the center of all of Scripture is at the center of verse 36. At the root of the gospel is God. God is the hero of the gospel. I'm not the hero. You're not the hero. David's not the hero. Isaiah's not the hero. God through Jesus is the hero. He's always the focal point. See, that's why our hearts prayerfully will begin to sing for joy. Just begin to sing. Just our hearts will begin to sing for joy. How great our God is. I pray you make a note of that text there, that doxology in Romans 11:36, because I want to give you four final passages, and they're brief, but they're all doxologies. And I pray your heart will begin to well up with the treasures and the mercies of God. Write these down. 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17. Doxology number one we're going to read. Here it is. 1 Timothy 1:17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory, be honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able, not to us who are able, to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. It's all according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Jude 24-25, there's only one chapter, 24-25, Jude. And here it is, sounds familiar. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from sinning, it's God. God's the one that will keep you and I from sinning. If you're struggling with sin today, this isn't about the better version of you. This is giving your life to God. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right here, he will keep us from stumbling, and he will present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Did you catch that? See, for all of God's kids, his true kids, male and female, and by the way, the Bible's clear that God created them then and now and forevermore, male and female. Are we clear on this? That is the Bible. We're going to stand on the truth of God's word. People may hate it. They may not like it. Tough tea bags. This is how this rolls, right? We stand on God's word. And right here, it's so clear. For you that are true in him, he's going to present you to the Father. He's going to present you to the Father going, here he is. Here she is. And he's going to do it with great joy. Oh, it's so glorious, isn't it? How can you not be excited by these things? Because the doxology goes on. To the only God. How many gods are there? One. Our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here it is, church. Be glory. Be majesty. May there be dominion, all authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And then lastly, Revelation. Revelation 5, our last doxology. Revelation 5:11-13. Revelation 5:11-13. Then I looked. Church, let's look together. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Did you catch this? I looked around and I heard around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels. They were numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of angels, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, capital L, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And all God's people said. Amen. Spiritual nutrients that I pray as you step onto the battlefield and you're going to. Just a few moments, you're going to step back onto the battlefield of life. Will you survive is the question. Will you survive on your own? Will you survive apart from the body of believers? Will you survive apart from daily feeding on his word? Will you survive from neglecting in prayer and communion with the Father? John MacArthur said this before he died. And I quote, the quote, unquote, Christian church is full of all kinds of people who believe in Jesus Christ. The devils believe. James 2:19, devil's faith. But it's about holy hatred of sin. It's about brokenness. It's about self-denial. It's about repentance. Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote from John MacArthur's quote, there are people who come forward under an emotional appeal and then immediately go backward into their sin. They go into the inquiry room, they walk an aisle, and get converted in 5 minutes and have nothing to do with godliness the rest of their lives. It's always the temptation, MacArthur says from that quote, of the church to cheapen evangelism. And all it does is create superficiality. Look, false converts are going to happen anyway. However, aiding and abetting them is not acceptable. Period. End quote. Oh Lord, I come before you. And Lord, our hearts are so heavy. Lord, we see so clearly that the spiritual condition of every heart is not a game to be toyed with, trifled with, played around with. But the condition spiritually of every human heart will either point them towards the light or towards the darkness. And so, Father, I pray that we would embrace that your mercy is more, and we praise you. Thank you. But, Lord, my fear is there's many all over this world today that claim the mercy of God, and yet there's little to no evidence of God living inside of them. And so, Father, I pray that we individually, myself at the top of the list, would be on mission. A mission to crucify ourselves, to live in self-denial, to put you first, God, in all things, to push others to the front and our will to the back, to be a people, Lord, not only here at Redeemer Bible Fellowship, but I'm speaking of the global true Christian church, true Christians, that is. Lord, I pray that this would be a wake-up call for all of us, God, that we'd no longer dabble and putt around in casual Christianity. But Lord, I pray we would take it seriously. God, I'm so grateful that your son Jesus took the cross seriously. I'm glad he didn't putter around. I'm glad he didn't trifle around and think of excuses on why he shouldn't go to the cross. But he simply exclaimed in the garden, nevertheless, God, not what I will, but what you will. Lord, may I, may we, may those listening today May we all enter and live in the land of nevertheless. Whatever you want, God, our answer is nevertheless, not what we will, but what you will. Holy Spirit, I pray if there's one here today or one that is listening that has perhaps never truly given their life to you. Oh, Father, I pray today would be the day. We don't have tomorrow. Nothing's promised. All we got right now is this breath, and you control each and every breath. Oh, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, would you move in power in this place and for those that are listening over the airwaves? May your word go forth in power, because we know that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. We know that the word of God cannot be shaken. We know that it cannot be quenched. We simply know this, God, that your word will not return void. And so, Father, may you receive all the glory for what you do with your word today through us, in us, and beyond us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.